faith and favoritism. Let me tell you, first of all, it's not a sermon you often hear, but James draws attention to it. Let me say on a personal note, just for a minute. Just on a personal note. Growing up, my brother was understood, probably in my family, my brother was the favored one. He was the one that was going to succeed. He was the gifted one, and I was the cute one. Now, I know my mother loved me, but I was the object of favoritism in the negative sense. And let me just say this right up front. It can be very hard for kids who are not shown equal justice with their parents, and I would challenge you and encourage you to not show favoritism to your kids, to your grandkids, and it's seen that done, and it does hurt. Favoritism, when it's not shown to you, is a troubling issue. James brings it to light here. And we look at what James says, and first of all, we have to look at the bridge just for a minute. We go back to James chapter 1, verse 27. He says, religion that is pure, we know the Greek word there, religion, is worship, that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is how James makes the connection. He says, if you want to live out that religious worship, then it's got to be put out in practical life. And in this case, in the life of the church. And I do believe that because of the assembly word that James is talking about the church, but we'll make practical application as we go along. Now, we first of all look that James says, don't show favoritism, and gives a very clear command. You'll notice here that he says, my brothers. Interesting that James starts with my brothers. Because he's putting this in the context of community within the body of Christ, it would naturally be for him to start with my brothers. We have a commonality. When we say our brothers and sisters, we all understand that to mean that we have something that we have in common. And that we have in common is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation, forgiveness of sin, hope, grace, peace, mercy, all of these things we have in common. So when we call each other brothers and sisters, or brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a connection that connects us together, and we know what that connection is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. So in light of what he's getting ready to talk about and put into a context of church, he immediately launches into the imperative. An imperative in the Greek means it's a command that you're not supposed to go, okay, well, that's a nice command, but I'm not going to do it. It's a command that we're supposed to do. Notice he says, show no partiality. And the Greek word there, partiality, is a plural word, which means acts of partiality. That means showing favoritism when you shouldn't be. Now, the Greek word actually comes from the courtroom. It means to sit in judgment. It means to be a judge. We see this word in the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy. You shall not show partiality in judgment. Now let's talk about some things that we should not judge, particularly when it comes to the body of Christ and in the body of Christ, or when visitors come in. Let's look at some things that we should not judge. First of all, we should not judge someone on how they dress. You may say, well, Pastor, aren't you supposed to wear your best clothes to church? I think you are. I think that you're supposed to wear your best, and I think you're supposed to give God your best. But what about those people that cannot afford nice clothes? And we get into this idea that when somebody comes into church and we look at the way they're dressed, and we think, well, they're less than we are. And that's a very dangerous situation to get into, because then we are basing everything in our Christian life on the outward, and it's really supposed to be on the inward. A second area that we're not supposed to judge on is skin color. Whether a person's black, white, yellow, green, it doesn't matter what they are. They are a Christian. If they call the name of Jesus Christ, they are as equal as we are. A third area we're not supposed to judge on is physical appearance. And I told the earlier church, and I tell you, I wish I could have a time back in high school. And there was a girl that had some physical facial problems, and a lot of the kids were mean, including me. And oftentimes when I come to texts like this and I think we're not supposed to look at appearances, I often remember that time, and it's a good reminder to me not to do it. And I tell the kids here today, the kids that we have in our sanctuary, don't judge people and don't make fun of them based on how they look. That can be very damaging. I really wish that I could go back, and maybe if I go to my class reunion next year, hoping to, maybe see her again and apologize to her face to face for making those remarks. It really did hurt her. Not just mine, but the other boys that were rough. We should never judge on outsides. I'm so glad God doesn't judge me because of my outside. He accepts me the way I am, and I think that's what we should do with others. There's another area we shouldn't judge, and that is on economic status. Those that are well-to-do should not look down on those that do not have much. And I think it's important. Now, the question is, why does James put this up there? My brother, show no partiality. Don't sit in judgment. Don't look at others. And just because he's got long hair, yes, I think every boy should have hair as short as me. And that's only because I can't grow it, right? But somebody has long hair doesn't mean less Christian or more Christian. Jesus Christ was a pure Nazarene, and he had very long hair. He wouldn't have cut his hair. So we get caught in these stereotypes that, well, this guy's person's got long hair, he's probably into drugs or whatever. No, we shouldn't do that. But now the question is, why don't we do that? And James gives us the basis for it. And notice what he says, as you hold, or that is possess, the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you remember what I said before, Lord Jesus Christ, threefold repetition of all of the names of Christ means what? It's important. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't show favoritism. Don't look at people. Don't sit in judgment of people. As you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Speaks of his radiance, his majesty, his wonderfulness. We've seen God of wonders this morning. And he says, don't do this as you hold. And the question is, why? I think the good news of the kingdom of God. You think as the body of Christ, you think out there in the world, and you think as you're going about your business, and you say, you know what, I don't like that. Well, see, you're holding to the faith. You claim to be a Christian, and you claim all the benefits of Christianity. That is, the forgiveness of your sins, your sins paid completely in full, you being under the grace of God, you experiencing the mercy of God, and then in your own walk, in your own life, in the public eye, you say, I don't like this, 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 this. Well, even in the church it shouldn't be, but when we're out there, it really shouldn't be, because the world's eyes are upon us. And if we're holding the faith of Christ, yet we are condemning others, there's an issue. And he says, as you hold the faith, that is the faith that you have in Christ, that personal faith. Everybody that's in here today, you have a personal faith in Jesus Christ. You are possessing that faith. Actually, you are being possessed by that faith, but you do possess the faith. How we live in this world does affect eternity. It really does. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 23, 1 Corinthians 10, 23, this is what he says. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. In other words, you can live your Christian life and you can choose to say, I don't like this group of people, only those that are our skin color here and this and this and this. You can live that way, but it's not a good way to live. And it is actually not beneficial. Actually, you can live your Christian life however you want. You say, you can. You can live your Christian life in Christ and never outrun the grace of God. But in the process of living your life the way that you want, you're going to burn up a lot of rewards. I'm telling you. You can live how you want to live. And it's always not pleasing to the Lord. Paul says everything's permissible for me. I can do whatever I want to do, but not everything's beneficial. So therefore, based on the kingdom of God and the good news of the gospel and the faith that I possess, I'm not going to show favoritism. I'm not going to do those things which bring dishonor to Christ. The gospel is at stake, I believe. And then he talks about, secondly, that this favoritism should never be based on appearance, and then gives us two examples. This is where I'm going to spend a little time this morning. Now notice he says, for if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in a shabby clothing comes also in, and you pay attention to the one who wears fine clothing, and you say to him, sit here, this is the good place. But you say to the poor man, you sit, stand over here in the corner, or come sit at my feet, which was a derogatory term. Because in the synagogue, when you sat at the teacher's feet, you had to look up. You were in a submissive position. Yet, they will allow those who have fine gold and nice clothes to come in, and you take the seat of honor. It was a very derogatory statement. The assembly here, and I said this at the beginning, the assembly here refers to the synagogue, clearly speaking to the church. I had a pastor friend of mine when I was in Bible college years ago. He was visiting one of his other friends' churches, and he said, I'm going to go dress up and put some raggy clothes on and come into your church and just see. I don't know why they did. Maybe it was a school project or something. But he walked through the doors, came in, he had smelly clothes on, and he walked in and he sat down in the front. Church about 100 and so. He walked in and he sat down up front. And I remember in class when he gave the report back, he said, only one person talked to me. Only one person. That church probably needed to hear this sermon. What if this guy walked in our church? Bill Gates, he's a bazillionaire, isn't he? Well, for me, I'd just welcome him. Tell him to have a seat. Please donate. You can make that out to First Baptist Church, Tolono. He's a bazillionaire. I'm not foolish. I wouldn't mind having him in the church. What about this guy? What about him? Is he welcome in our church? What about your life? What about the guy that stands on the corner, veteran, needs food? What about those people that society cast off? I'm not into the social gospel, but I can tell you what I am into. I am into helping those who are in need. And I realize that there's some that abuse the church, and I try to not give them when they do that. But here you have a man who does not have anything, and I think Douglas Moo is right. Douglas Moo made a nice quote here. The image James conjure up is of a typical homeless person of our day, dressed in mismatched, stained, and smelly rags. I'm going to tell you a true story of a man we had in our last church. His name was Steve. Steve was mentally challenged. He was in his 40s. Steve was mentally challenged. He would come to church. His clothes were filthy. Steve probably had not had a bath all week. Steve would come through the doors of the church. No teeth, hadn't bathed, clothes mess. Steve would walk right to me. And you know what? I'd give that man a hug. Matter of fact, everybody in the church hugged him. One day, Steve loved to sing. And we had a man in our church that would work with Steve to sing. Steve would stand up there, and he would get maybe three or four words out of his mouth. But he was just standing up in front of the congregation because he loved to sing about Jesus and what he had done in his heart. One day, and I let Steve, he said, Pastor Mike, I want to sing again. And I'd get Ron to work with him, and they would work on a song, and Steve would sing it. One day after church, I had one of the members of our congregation come up to me. And I really can't remember the man who did it. It was a man. And he walked up to me and he said, Pastor, he said, do you really think that we should have Steve singing songs? I mean, it just doesn't look professional. Okay, now you guys know me, right? I'm usually, I go around things. I just looked at him and I said this. This was the first thing that popped out of my mouth. We are not professionals. We are sinners saved by the grace of God. And if any person in this church wants to get up there and sing about the Lord, I don't care who he is or who she is, they are going to do it. Brother, we are not professionals. You know what? When you listen to Steve sing, I really didn't like those days, because then I had to try to preach after Steve would sing. And I tell you what, you just saw, and then even at the invitations, Steve would come up. And I remember one Sunday, clear as a bell, Steve came up and walked forward and he grabbed my hand like this. And he said, Pastor, I just want to be more like Jesus. That was my sermon. Wanting to be more like Jesus. I had people who had their full cognitive mentalities and they don't even get the message. But here I've got one who's mentally challenged, comes forward and encapsulates. I probably should have had him write my sermons in a nutshell. But he would encapsulate the sermon in just a few words. I want to be more like Jesus. Yeah. I think we do a big disservice when we think that we're professionals. Actually, boys and girls, men and women, we are not professionals. Band is not professional. Pastors are not professionals. We are sinners saved by the grace of Christ. That's how we need to approach it in our lives. When we look at the world, we don't look on the outwards. We look at what Christ has done in the heart. Then he says, he asks the question, and of course the question is yes. The answer to the question is yes. Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Evil. Not that judging is a sin, but that judging and showing partiality to those just because they are status and position are evil thoughts, because you have wrong motives. It goes to the heart. In other words, what he's saying is, you are guilty. You are guilty of having this attitude. Are you guilty? Are you guilty of having the evil thoughts of thinking just because somebody is higher to do, well to do, that they are more important than those who have less? It's a pretty big issue. And this is the reason why God sees differently. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is found right here. Listen to this. Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? And what this doesn't mean is that God doesn't choose only poor people and exclude well-to-do people from the kingdom. But in this particular case, he's saying that God chooses those who are poor. The Greek word there, poor, also has a root word. The root word meaning, guess what? Humble. Humility. All of those issues. That is, there is a principle here that is worth stating over and over and over again in the Old Testament, New Testament. God gives grace to the humble and brings down the prideful. Those who have wealth, and I tell you what, thank God we do have people that have money in the church. They are important. But I'm going to tell you something as your pastor. Over many years, I can tell you who I've had the most problems with in the church. You know who I've had the most problems with as a pastor in the Church of Christ? It's those who have money. And I can tell you one gentleman that I am sure, unless he has changed, he is not entering the kingdom of God, even though he claimed to be a deacon in our church. He was the one that I read on a Wednesday night on Solomon, and Solomon said, do not be excessively evil. And because I wouldn't play along with what this guy wanted to do, he came up to me after church on a Wednesday night and nuzzled right next to me and said, well, Pastor, how evil can I be? This was the same man that would take his wallet out, pop it open, and show me $100 bills stacked in a line. And this was the same man that when the brotherhood plate was passed for the poor, that he would pop a $100 bill right in front of my face. He did that, literally. Popped a $100 bill right in front of my face and laid it in the offering plate. And I thought to myself, you are a very foolish man, because that is your reward right there. That is your reward. You got all your reward. You pop. That's who I've had the most problems with, are those who are rich. Now, this does not mean that every person that is wealthy or has money is like that. I have known plenty of Christians who have been very wealthy and who are wealthy, and they are very good Christian people. But I tell you what, if I had a choice, I would rather have all poor people in my church. I'm glad I'm here, because that's pretty much where we are. I know, I made it funny. Do you remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? You know, it's kind of like God says, I want those who need me. Think about it. If you're rich, why would you need Jesus? You notice God chooses, amazing that God chooses the downcast, the rejects of society. And they come to him by faith because they need him. The rich don't need him. There's going to be a reversal someday. This is all going to get reversed. You notice God doesn't see things like we do. We judge outwardly. We judge on appearance. My goodness, look at Hollywood. All those women in those long gowns when they walk down the red carpet. And ooh and ah. Or the prince and princess get married. Ooh and ah. It's all based on external stuff. I honestly, and my wife can be a witness to this, I have not watched an Academy Award since we were in Hawaii, 1983. And even as a baby Christian, I came under the conviction that glorifying men's bodies is wrong. We spent a lot of time on stuff that... There's a reversal coming. The rich man and Lazarus. Rich man had his here, and then when Lazarus died, they both died. One went to be in the bosom of Abraham. That was Lazarus. And the rich man looks out. He says, hey, can you just give me a drop of water? Just a drop. There is a reversal coming. There's a day coming when this is all going to be reversed. God sees. I love this verse. Has not God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Listen, it doesn't matter what your financial situation is. Do you know what? If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you are wealthy. When the rich man stands before God, and God said, why should I let you into my kingdom? He says, God, I'll give you a lot of money. Mm-mm. The only answer that's going to be correct is when you say, I have trusted in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and then God's going to let you in because all of his wealth was tied up in his son. God sent the best. And in Christ, we are like him before the Father. So God sees things a little differently than we do. You know the story. I'm going to quote you the verse. You know the story well. I don't need to go into it. But the Lord said to Samuel, this is from the Old Testament, do not consider his appearance. I love this. Listen, same God of the New Testament, same God of the Old Testament, same God of glory, eternity. Listen to what he says. Do not look at his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things as man looks at things. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Guys, this is all about the heart. This is all about the heart. God does not see things externally. He sees things internally. He looks at the way things really are. We look at them how they look on the outside. Most of us do. First thing I said to my mother when she tried to fix me up with a blind date, this was years ago. This wasn't last week. Audrey goes, that's good. First thing I asked my mother, is she pretty? Then I saw a picture of her. Begged my mom to help me get out of it. My mother said, you're going to take her on a date. I said, okay. External. That shouldn't be in the house of God. We don't look at people based on how they look or how pretty they are. Because how they look and how pretty they are may not be a reflection of what's inside. I've seen really pretty people that have been very ugly on the inside. We do not look at the way the world looks or shouldn't. Do you do that? I recently read an article where it said people who are more attractive get jobs before those who aren't. Our society, it's all based on externals. Listen, let me say this. I'm going to say it strongly. Your worth is not determined by how you look or how much you have. Your worth is determined by the cross of Jesus Christ and what he paid on the cross for you. You are a valuable treasure to behold before the kingdom of God. You are valuable. And then he goes on and he makes a correction. It's the reality, but I call it correction too. But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court, kind of like those lawyers you see on TV? If you've been injured in an accident, you come see me and I'll get all the money you can. Or I'm going to take you. We're court happy nowadays. Are they not the ones that blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? In other words, James is telling his congregation to think about who you have exalted and who you have put down. Think about it. Usually, there's a price to pay when you attach to wealth. There is. Because as you get wealthy, so the temptations increase. I'm not saying, and I said this in the chairman of the finance committee, I hope I never get wealthy. And then, of course, he said, yeah, I'll think about that. But be careful what you want. Be very careful for what you wish for, because you might actually get it. And so if I were to say this to you today, I'd say, think about the rich. Think about their lifestyle. And I'm not saying all of them are like that. I understand that. But I have not seen too many Christians that can handle a lot of money. James says, you think about the price you have to pay. I think about people that try to go into Hollywood. What are they seeking? They're seeking wealth, fame. Well, here's the deal. You have to sell some of yourself to do that. Never sell. Never think that somebody's worth is based on the external. Never think that your worth is based on how much you can have or how many things you can buy. Please don't do that. Faith is connected to favoritism. You don't often hear it, but James deals with it. Faith this heart right here. Please be reminded that we walk by faith, not by sight. So if we walk by faith and not by sight, stop living by sight and trying to walk by sight. Live by faith. By faith means that we don't show favoritism in the house of God, and let's not do it. Let's pray.